Bill Grady called and could not be here. So we have Mr. Edmund, we have Mr. Davis, Alvin. Yes, and we have Christina Dalton from our new youth and governance. Our other one, Dustin Beth, is ill. So we have a quorum here. What are we missing? What are you on the 27?
Aaron Coleman.
Aaron.
Aaron's
okay, he didn't call.
He'll probably be here.
He comes in a little late coming from Abbott.
So that's our roll call. Approval of the minutes of the previous meetings. At our last meeting, we had no minutes from the previous highway park before the joining of the two committees. We have those now. And then we have our first joint committee meeting minutes. If everyone has read those, if anyone would like to make a motion.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the previous meetings. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Chairman, committee members, supervisors, youth and government comments. The only thing, a couple things I have. We did, as everyone knows, opened up the Katy Park. I don't know if anybody had a chance to get out there 2 weekends ago for the Memorial Day weekend and then this past weekend. The first weekend, we've had a couple hot days involved in there, but the first weekend I had to call John, he was sick all week, to come in here early to print more maps because we ran out of maps twice. So he left me a packet of maps so I didn't bug him anymore. Because I went out there and checked yesterday, and we were okay with it printed. I don't know what that first weekend, 150? Yeah. And this weekend, a couple hundred?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot of activity out there. I'll say it briefly, but a couple of things I didn't know anything about, and John did. I had a woman ask me if they could geocache out there. Maybe some of you know what that is. Some call it... what's the other term?
Letterboxing.
Letterboxing is okay. Similar to what?
And I said, what is that? And you go on the internet and you say, I left this, and you leave the coordinates, and people go and they find it. They either get a stamp or they leave a trinket, take a trinket.
The weatherman does
that. And John said it's all over in all our parks. I knew nothing about it. And I said, I asked John, and he said, yeah, we do it. And so I told her she could do it. Well, she hung a couple out there, went back and you have to register, and she said, somebody already had done it. You know, so they've done it already the previous weekend. So there's all kind of hobbyists do all kind of things out there. I had a call from 10 people that were all sitting together yesterday afternoon. They all live in the same community and they had been out there. And I said, what's this about? We got to choose weekends. And I said, I know. I said, but we're having a meeting tonight. When we met as a committee, our aim, and it was a motion by Supervisor O'Day, we had talked about every other weekend, and Supervisor O'Day's motion that was carried unanimously was open on weekends, so that we didn't have that. Then when we did the paperwork with the administration, it came back every other weekend. So the motion on the floor that was unanimously passed by this committee was to have it open on weekends. So I just want to see if there's any discussion on that now. If there's anyone who wants to go back from that, or
I was just going to look in the minutes and see if you find the original motion.
It's in there. I found it. Well, I'll have to look and see.
It was in the joint meeting.
The joint meeting, the first joint meeting.
Yeah, let's see. May 2nd.
Okay. It's right here on the bottom of page 3.
Yes.
Through holidays, holiday weekends.
Holidays and holiday week. our intent. And just want to see if that's what we want to go forward with.
John, is there a reason why we did it every other weekend rather than doing it at weekends? Is there a fiscal impact or something, some reason?
No, it just was the recommendation by administration. First and third weekends and holidays.
The thought was when we talked with the exec was that if we did the every other to start, we don't know. And the more it goes on, we'll find out exactly how much John's got to go over there and have staff empty the garbage and take care of stuff. So we thought if we open it up every weekend right off the bat, and then we find out it is too much of a workload and we have to cut back later on in the year, in the summer, that would probably be a bigger problem. And if we start out incrementally with it every other weekend, is it every other? It's like the first and third
first
and all
third,
the holidays?
Yeah.
That then we could, if it turns out that it really is incidental type labor, then we could open it up and do it every weekend type of a thing. We didn't set a date specific to that.
And I met with the county executive, and I went along with that, but here's the call I had from these people last night. Specifically, they said they had really enjoyed it. They paid over $1 million for it. They haven't been able to use it for 10 years, and they want to use it. So this was, and they were very pleasant, but they said, what is this? Where you going to do it this weekend, not next weekend? And not at all during a week. The one guy said, you know, he employs 120 people in Twin Lakes. The guy that called me. And he said, I walked over there on a Thursday night. He said, but every other weekend, he said, you know, just, and I said, I've got a meeting tonight. I'll talk about it. He said, well, there's 10 of us sitting here right now. And he said, tell them that the constituents would like to be able to use it. I talked to John and to Nick. Nick goes over there. Somebody has to go to the dog park every morning anyway. There is no cost. There's no evident cost to opening the gate and closing the gate on Saturdays and Sundays. Now, I know there's some resistance, and the resistance is from the Green Ribbon. They're fear was that people would become used to something. Habits would be formed. And then when the Green Ribbon Committee comes with their recommendations, that might not be one of the things, the uses that they would like to see us do. The hiking trails have always been part of this operation from start to finish. That's not going to change no matter what. So I don't see the theory behind of forming habits behind taxpayers that have paid over $1 million for the piece of land and want to go out there and hike for 2.24 miles. That was the motion made by this committee. I don't see it as a big thing to have it every weekend. Any thoughts?
Well, if there's no fiscal impact, I tend to agree with you. The hiking trails are going to be there. And that's part of the park. You're not going to change that. I mean, we didn't put the hiking trails in there to have the Blue Ribbon Committee come in and take them all out.
Right.
So they're going to stay. So people are going to get used to hiking, and that's going to continue even after the Blue Ribbon Committee comes in with whatever recommendations they do. The fishing is, again, it's there. It's part of the park. You're not going to take that away, I don't believe. The Blue Ribbon Committee isn't going to stop people from fishing. So the two things that we've allowed people to do certainly isn't going to impact whatever decision comes out of that committee. I think, I'm with you, I agree, Supervisor Ellerman, that I think it's time that we just open it on weekends, allow people to use it. If there's no fiscal impact, that it costs us a lot of money, then why not allow the public to use it? That's what it's there for. And now that we've got it open, I tend to agree. I mean, I think that it's a good idea to have it.
Just so you know, the Green Ribbon Committee will bring a recommendation to this committee. Mm-hmm. This committee has final say on everything.
Right.
So, except for the, you know, we're hoping these people, and they've been doing wonderful jobs, coming up with recommendations. But, you know, I'm not trying to interfere with that, but the hiking and the fishing is, And especially when I get a guy that, you know, calls me and he's right. And I mean, that's why I pushed for this. And we did, as a committee, vote this way at our last meeting. I just want to bring it up tonight, and, so that John knows, and so that, that people can know that, you know, what we're saying they can do.
If there's any cost involved in some things we do during the year, we somehow manage to find a few dollars here and there, moving within the budgeted areas that we have to deal with. I can't imagine it would be that much, but to have this spigot on and off would drive me nuts.
Well, that's what
the park is there. We've got it going to that point. It's almost like telling me, well, this week you can golf at Pest. Next week you got to go out to the person. You know, you got to do something else. I can't remember from one week to next week which week I'm supposed to be at the park and which week I can't be at the park.
Yeah.
You're going to post it? Even if I went next week and it was supposedly closed, what are you going to do to me? How do I... You going to have a guard out there? Well, I mean, what are you going to do to the people that go to the park?
Well, I can't get in.
Well, I can go to that park.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, tell me.
Hopefully the people get in.
I think it's just for the simple fact of confusion.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's what maybe they're bringing their point of view is... We're taxpayers, we pay for this, you know, so I'm all for it.
So I mean, that's the motion that was on our floor that was passed unanimously, so we'll stay with that. I just wanted so that John knows, and somehow, I don't know what we do, we have a very nice sign up there that has all the dates, but we just get something up there that says open every weekend, you know.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I'll continue to help. I can continue to help on weekends. I've gone out there 4 or 5 times and checked on, you know, the maps and stuff.
Yeah. Did Betts donate the porta pot?
You know, well, I'm not sure yet.
Okay. I didn't know what we were doing there yet.
Yeah. They told me it would be cheaper if they left it there, so I'm not sure.
Yeah.
The only other thing I have is I got a call today from Samantha Kirkland. Says he's working hard with the DNR on this trail to the Silver Lake Bowl. She said, have you heard from them? And I said, no, John, from today, after our May 3rd meeting, we haven't heard back. She said, we're trying to work so that they can do something less expensive, like in Bristol with the boardwalks. You know, I said, good. You know, I was fixing a flat tire at the time on a machine. Tell me all about this. I said, I'll see John tonight, find out what John told me tonight. He still hasn't heard back.
Not from the folks I met with.
Yeah, we haven't heard back, but I believe the exec has met with DNR folks and Samantha when he was in Madison to try to jumpstart some common sense.
Well, it was from him that he told her to call me.
Okay.
But John still hasn't heard from him.
We haven't got any official notice of which way we can go or anything.
So then while I had her on the phone, one other thing I was going to get into, I said, now about this $100,000 in the state budget, cutting off the county from being able to do our own work. She said, oh, that's a touchy thing. You know? And I said, no, Samantha, Robin Voss, I know every lobbyist out there. I said, Robin Voss did not come up with that independent thought. Even though he says it on the news. So that's the road lobby. She said, no, a lot of sex in Burlington, you know, they do Burlington's work. It's the small guys. So I was fixing a tire on one of my loaders at the time. I said, believe me, I know what a small guy does. And I'm doing it right now, Samantha, but I've got time to tell you this. We have the opportunity with one of the best pavement crews in the state of Wisconsin to save our county money. And I just gave her the one instance with our cart pads. And she said, I know, but you know, the little guys. And I said, don't give me that. It's not the little guys you're working for. It's the road lobby. Not little. Lot of six, not little, but I mean, still. And she said, well, there's going to be some concessions. But I knew that tonight that we would want to discuss this and possibly put together something, since they're going to be, working the Joint Finance Committee and working on this budget. You Gary, have you had any thoughts on what, you know, should we form something to send to them, or have you talked to them? Or?
Yeah, I've not talked to them personally. I know our association, the Wisconsin County Highway Association, is working, lobbying to have that modified. And I was going to talk a little bit about it on my report, so we can talk about it now if you want, or later.
If you'd like to know.
There's like 27 parts to this motion that they made, and I mean, I'd be happy to go through some of them in detail, but basically what it's doing is it's going to restrict counties, all counties, to only perform in maintenance work.
Very narrowly defined.
They've defined maintenance, I mean, to the extent where anything, if you fill a crack that's more than 500 feet long, then it's no longer maintenance. Or if you do an overlay that's more than 3/4 inch thick, that's no longer maintenance. Anything that has a lifespan greater than 10 years, that's no longer maintenance. Like if you put in a culvert that's supposed to last 20 years, that's not maintenance. That's not. So we're not going to be allowed to do any of that type of work. On our own system, yes, but we can't do it for somebody else, like the towns or the villages or the city or the state.
You pay for it.
Right.
Yeah.
We cannot go outside of our boundaries of the county and do any work. It's very, very restrictive, very defining as to what we can and cannot do. There's other parts of this involving the bidding process, and there's requirements about the way we do bidding and how we award bids to anyone. That's even for our own work. That doesn't matter who we're working for. In a nutshell, that's what this whole thing is doing. It's very, very much restricting the work we can do, and over the years, we've never budgeted the revenue that we've generated by doing work above and beyond maintenance work, and we have done a lot, especially in the paving, like you said. There was a few years ago, we were in the $700,000 to $800,000 a year category for additional revenues that we've generated. That's since gone down to almost nothing, I think mostly because of the economy and the smaller municipalities and the state just haven't had the funds to do additional work. But we have never budgeted anticipated revenues for that work for our operating budget, so we never were dependent upon that, except we always used it as a cushion for when, say, we had a really bad winter and we had cost overruns, just unknown things that tend to come up on a daily basis. We had that flexibility to use the revenue that we generated instead of going back to the general fund. I don't think I've ever gone in 30 years gone to the general fund to fund anything within the highway department, because we've always had the opportunity to use this additional revenue. It is pretty well known we've given hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to the golf operations to help to fund that. We've given money to Kemper. I mean, it's really been well used. It's not hurting us from the standpoint of going to affect our daily operations, but it's really going to impact us from the standpoint of you know, having that little safety valve or of funds available to us and having the ability to help out in other areas in the county when we can. The other thing that came out was a modification to the prevailing wage law that has been a problem. They passed that new prevailing wage rate law where any work we did that had a value of over $25,000, all the prevailing wage laws went into effect. And there's been some proposed modifications to that to actually reduce the impact on us, but as it turns out, they're raising that $25,000 threshold to $48,000. So it's, you know, with the cost of construction, it's not a huge impact, but it's a little bit of a compromise to the counties. So I guess, you know, there's some good things in this motion 352. They're adding a little bit of money into the general transportation aids. I don't think it's going to impact us because our estimated reduction was 9%, but for next year. But they said that it's only going to impact people that had between a 10 and a 15% reduction in their transportation aid. So it's going to help the people. Apparently, it's going to help the people that had the greatest proposed reduction. But as of right now, we're still looking at a $238,000 reduction in our general transportation aids for 2012. And then they increased the funding in the area of the state maintenance, so they help out their own state trunk highway maintenance. So
you don't hear when they're going to be debating this?
That's a good question, and I asked that question today, and I don't know if they are going to be debating it at all. Maybe they will, maybe they won't, but there's some procedural things that apparently are going to be happening, and I don't know if there will. Typically, there'd be an opportunity within both the Assembly and the Senate,
right,
to debate these. Now, whether that actually happens or not, I don't know.
When will they be holding their meeting?
I don't know. Their new state budget takes effect July 1st. So sometime between now and July 1st, they would typically pass their budget. That would be their goal. I mean, there's been years where it hasn't passed until October or November, but typically that's what their goal is.
I know Representative Barca is very aware of it because he was quoted in the paper. Representative Kirkland is aware of our feelings, but that doesn't, seem to move her in one direction. I just wondered if it would be timely for us to draft a letter, from this committee or from the county board, or if we're looking at no time to do that. Right.
The only thing I was going to add here is when we met with the exec today over this, and we were talking kind of anecdotally, but he thought that this week there wasn't going to be a lot happening up there because of they're going to wait for the Supreme Court to supposedly going to rule on
right.
a number of things, but. What I got out of that was his perception was that next week, if they're going to formally kind of put together the nuts and bolts, the final nuts and bolts, it would be next week. So if there is a window to communicate this kind of thing, probably this week is get something drafted up, formally sent and get it up there, at least make a formal opposition known
Is there some high points that we could, I know that everyone has a lot of very busy schedule, but is there some high points that we could draft that the committee members could sign, or?
I would think so. I would think those, they're things that are really, where they narrowly define, some of the stuff is, it's just, I mean, you read it and you almost got, I giggled when I was reading, because it's so out there.
I read it too.
And so I think some of the stuff about how some of the maintenance stuff is so narrowly defined, some of the stuff that specifically prohibits, from what I remember here, there's stuff that specifically prohibits, like the DOT, from contracting with us to do stuff of a certain nature that before was commonplace. Right. I mean, there's certain points that are just kind of blatant, you know, it's obvious that what's it?
Who has time to do that has knowledge?
I know Gary's going to be heading up to the commission meeting tomorrow, but I could, between he and I can talk to you on the phone on your ride
sure.
up there.
Yeah.
And I can then get it to you, and actually pull the executive too, because we just talked about it this afternoon. We just and then get a
judge. If you guys want to just take care of it, you know, with the executive, I mean, I want the committee to know about this tonight. And I mean, there could be something we could sign a blank sheet tomorrow night, you know, and you could get something set. But
yeah.
So, right, yes.
I think that we should really be working through Samantha Kirkman. I mean, she's our representative, and she's on the right party. So I know you talked to her, but
right.
You know, maybe we need to put a little more heat on her, and specifically highlight what you're saying about the points of, you know, this language, this specific language in there is ridiculous. That you're trying to manipulate the counties is basically what they're trying to do.
Gary, so, what you're looking at, did they get a copy of that? Or I know you just got this, I think, like Friday, didn't you?
Yeah. I have this available. I could.
Yeah, we can run off copy. So you can see exactly what we're talking about.
It would be nice to have a copy of it. And I mean, I think we as committee members can call Samantha as well.
Yeah.
But I think a letter drafted to Representative Kirkman, as well as the. Doesn't the budget go to the caucus next week? Didn't I hear that on the radio today, that they're really finalized now, and now it goes to the caucuses to manipulate and do whatever they want to do?
See, I don't know, because it sounds like this year, based on some of what Gary was saying, I don't know that the normal process is necessarily what's in play now, and there's other procedural things that are being looked at. So I honestly don't know. You could be right that that's the formal mechanism they're going
to
use.
Well, I think it goes to caucus, and then I think it has to go to the Assembly and the Senate. But I think before it goes there, although I don't know for sure.
You think that like Mark and Kirkman could get their heads together. I mean, a lot of times they make these rules like this, but they always have kind of a backdoor out, an opt-out clause or something that could be, it saves them politically, but it gives them, you know, it gets them the budget that they want to do, but the counties maybe could have an out.
Here's my feeling on just knowing the power of the group that's behind us.
Yeah.
There isn't a way out for her power. There isn't a way out. Samantha Kirkman is not going to compromise. She is not going to leave her party and try to change this. That's the most powerful lobbying group in the state. And they have managed to convince people on these small items that are going to hurt. And using the logic that is to help small businesses. You know, when I was courted as a young businessman to join the couple small business organizations, the figures used for small business are 500 on down. And at one of the meetings, I said, what do I have in common with you? To one of the guys that had 500 employees. You know, and he wanted me to push for something that was good for him. It wasn't good for me, but 5 employees. And there's where we are. This is the road, the highway lobbying group, and they're the biggest donors to both political parties. And that's why I think we have the sympathy of Representative Barton. And I don't think we're looking at, as Mr. Sisma said, losing a lot. But the thing that irks me was just a couple little examples, and the biggest one was our cart pass, where they were $40,000. We're trying to figure this out, and we can do it. We've got a trained group of guys that we send out to work for other counties and stuff, and they're telling us, no, you got to let Wanasek do that. You know, that just irritates you.
That's wrong.
You know, and that's where these little slips that go through these bills, and Samantha's saying, I don't know if we can do this. I can see her panting on the phone with me this afternoon, because she's already been told this is what we're going to do. You know, so if anybody thinks they can talk to her, I don't know. I mean, she's pleasant, and but she's playing by the rules that are there. You know, that's, I don't know if I hate to ask, I know everybody's busy, if anybody has the time to, you know, put something together to voice displeasure on a couple of these high points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we can do that.
Yeah.
You and I talk, and we can get something put together. Mm-hmm. Because if we get Jim's signature and your signature, I think that should carry a significant amount of weight.
I'm sure Jim has already talked to a lot of people.
I mean, I'm sure that he has.
Behind them.
Yeah, it's difficult to go up against the lobby of the road builders now.
Yeah, they're big time. So I'm sorry to carry that on so long, but it's pretty important stuff.
It's huge. It literally changes the way counties do business.
Yeah.
Completely.
And once again, with this effect, obviously down the road, if this is going to take place, it's going to affect the county highway workers, I would assume, correct? Because there's going to be less work to do?
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
so really, once again, you're going to possibly, facing layoffs, you're going to face more layoffs in the summer because there's going to be less stuff to do.
Right.
In the grand scheme of things, correct?
Yes, very much so. And it actually affects a lot of other counties more than us, because we have our paving operation that we can keep our crews busy throughout the summer. Well, a vast majority of the counties have crews that do work, but mostly on town roads. And in other parts, outside of southeastern Wisconsin, that's a way of life. You know, you have to have your core group in the winter, your core staff, your core bunch of equipment. Well, in the summer, if you don't pick up some additional work, what are you going to do? How are you going to fund this core staff? And we've been doing it through our paving operations and that type of thing. And a lot of other counties do it strictly through working in towns. And when that goes away, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. So it's tough for us. It's way tougher for a lot of other counties.
I'm glad you're all on top of it. I know you were, but it's...
Yeah, the meeting I'm going to tomorrow, that's with our association, and they're really the best resource to get directly to the legislature.
Because they're hard lobbyists, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. Okay, so I have a reporting here. Any other supervisors? Or you the governance? Anything? Comments on? Citizens' comments would be next. Any citizens that would wish to come would have 5 minutes to address the committee on any matter that they would like. Seeing none, citizens' comments are closed. And I'll go to Mr. Sitzman's report. Highway parks. Well, we'll go to highway parks. Whole business highway parks and laws. I don't think we...
wasn't really anything to carry over.
So we'll go to new business. Lake Michigan grant to fund the design and engineering for the Pike River Fish Passage Dam Removal Project.
Late last winter, we became aware that there was a chance to seek a grant here for the engineering and design work to remove the dam at Petrifying Springs. We did apply for that grant. It didn't require a resolution, so we submitted it. And we were awarded the grant. If this committee approves to accept it, the total grant is $132,000. $102,000 is the award. $28,000 will actually be the cash value from the county's match, and $2,000 in-kind match, which will probably be volunteer work, removing invasive species and things along the Pike River. So in actual cash to the county, this is $28,000. We've been seeking this same grant or trying to remove that dam now for a couple of years. What we found out with submitting for a NOAA grant, if you're not shovel ready, your chances of being successful with a grant from those folks to do this project is pretty limited. But now this gives us the opportunity to go ahead and get our construction, our design and engineering in place, and seek a construction grant.
Okay, so we don't have a fiscal page with this. Is that because we're going to do it with volunteer work and different?
The $2,000 on that. And the $28,000, Al Swartz did a budget modification here to take that money out of Parkland. It's Parkland.
John, have they got that?
I didn't get this till after the packets had to go out.
Okay.
So I couldn't. That's why the one resolution, the following one, is incorrect too. So
John, can you explain what the, or you have Dennis just looking at? Basically, Al put together the actual budget modification form,
right,
that shows, like, yep, if we accept the money from the grant and then the county's match, and he puts it in one fund, basically.
Yeah. And where does the money come from the county?
The 28 out of Parkland Development.
Parkland Development was the only pocket that we had.
Out of there, Katie Park.
The waste management. Yeah.
Everybody keeps saying that should have been $4 million by now. That's where everything comes.
This at least is park related. I mean, it is a park development.
Right.
It's not specifically KD, but it's.
Well, I have a question for John. What, since I don't know much about this, what is this supposed to do, this dam removal? Tell me what happens.
Right now, every time we have a little rain event, we flood that park out. That dam holds it back and floods it, and we end up closing the road and losing all our pavilion rentals in the summer. You know, historically, it was maybe, in the 70s and 80s, it would flood out maybe once severely. And now every time, if we get an inch of rain in maybe an hour, we're out of business. And when this happens, we get a major event. It's taken us 5 days to put that place back in shape to get it open. It's washing all our surfacing out of our two playgrounds. It's washing out paths. It's pushing sediment out onto the roadways. It's just, the biggest benefit to the parks from this will be to reduce that flooding. On the back side, of course, the folks here want to remove that dam to allow the lake trout and salmon and suckers and other game fish up to the 26 miles north of that dam in the Pike River, which that dam is an impediment to right now. The dam control itself, it's more or less stuck open in the wide open position. It was put in the late 30s, early 40s, and it's just wore out. The gears are stripped in and everything. But it's insufficient to handle the flow anymore.
So basically, we're going to save money too on county worker hours that we put into this, because you tell me this floods out all the time.
We would.
So I mean, there's a win-win on this.
It is.
Labor-wise,
it is. It will not
long-term
completely eliminate the flooding, but it'll probably reduce it significantly.
Thank you.
You have the resolution all prepared, and so what you're looking from us is for a motion to accept the resolution.
Yeah. Accept the grant.
Okay. I'll move to do that.
Move by Supervisor Gentz, is there a second?
A second.
Supervisor Kohlmeyer, second. Any further discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
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 John, when will this go to the county board then?
Sorry?
When will this go to the county board?
I have to go to finance.
It has to go to finance first.
Does it go to finance this week, John, or is it?
No, next Al said they get it to him right away tomorrow morning. So I don't know if any.
I think it's.
If it doesn't.
Because I don't think there's a finance committee on this Thursday.
So, John, what is the benefit of this dam, anyways, right now?
None whatsoever.
Is that what you tell me? At one point in time, there was a benefit?
It was the impoundment for the irrigation pond for the golf. That's the golf course.
That's right.
And now they've got their own pond and.
Thank you, Vicki. That's what I thought.
But in conjunction with this, we have a lot of folks that want to be on board with it, believe it or not, the DNR, the American Rivers, the Winroot Pike Initiative, and again, this fund for Lake Michigan may be able to come with more funds to help with the construction as well. So, and Winroot just got a $180,000 grant to start doing cleanup work on the north end of the Pike River as well. So this all sort of is going hand in hand to clean up that entire river, get the process rolling.
To kind of put a face on that grant, just so people are aware of it too, is that was probably a decade ago now when We Energies, there was a lawsuit that Sam Johnson actually spearheaded because of something going on with the Oak Creek Power Plant. That eventually settled, and they set up a fund of, I think, about $200 million that's being administered by this group, and basically it has to be used to improve the watershed part of Lake Michigan.
Well, it's a good deal for us.
So it's
really still what we've talked about more than just recently.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on to a resolution to pursue the application of a stewardship grant to fund the design and construction of the recreational trail in Silver Lake.
Okay, and the one I gave you in your packet, the grant, we only wanted permission to apply for the grant funding, so I handed out a different one here just before the meeting. This is just to apply for the grant, which the date for stewardship grants is coming up here quick. It's June 15th, so we'd like to, if we can get approval to submit for a grant, doesn't mean you have to accept it, just to submit and see where it goes. That's what this grant is asking for. The price estimates did change on here from previously, because this is for the complete trail instead of just a portion of it. This was adding the section that goes to the boat launch. Even though the DNR folks haven't got back to me that we can build cheaper bridges or anything yet, I had to pretty much go with the cost of what it would be as it stands. You know, I know they're working on that up there, but I don't have any guarantee or anything from the DNR on that. And again, this is just to submit a grant.
So this is basically the reintroduction of what we talked about,
right?
I think two meetings ago. It's that grant.
So this isn't spending any money. And we don't have, it's from my initial report this evening, this conversation I had with Representative Kirkman, Saturday, saying she's working with these guys. Hopefully they can get to drop those bridges and we save $100,000. But we need to apply for this whether we go ahead with it or not. And I don't think we as a committee or board would go ahead with it if we don't get some concessions there. But we don't have an extra $150,000.
And we have to, even if we get the portion to the boat launch, we still have to do something with that section off of B, because that's the only way we can get equipment in there,
right,
to do that other portion, because that little narrow bridge at the boat launch. So, I mean, there's going to be work there. Even if it ends up being a service road, we still have to clear that to get in there. So,
make a motion to approve.
Motion's been made to allow applying for the grants for the Wisconsin DNR. Second. Supervisor O'Day, second. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Approved unanimously. How would you like to report? I hope we took care of the biggest part of your.
That was a big part. It's been a while. We were looking at those resolutions. I went and made copies of this. This is a report from the Wisconsin County Association. It's not the Wisconsin County Highway Association. The Wisconsin Counties Association has a slightly more rosy picture of that motion 352 because their big interest in this was transit, and there was some increases in transit as a compromise to what they're restricting us. But the meat of what I told you is in there, and so you can see for yourself what our concerns are. This is what we really wanted to talk about. This is the asphalt paving plan that for 2011. The top sheet is a little bit of a snapshot, a summary of the current conditions of our county trunk highway, all 261 miles of it. There's two forms. There's a graph on the top and like a column on the bottom. As part of our pavement management system, we are required to go out and rate the pavement condition from 0 to 10, 0 being the worst condition, 10 being the best condition. Any pavement that lies within a 0 to 5 category is in need of resurfacing. Right now, if you added up the mileage of categories 3, 4, and 5, we don't have any 0, 1, or 2 pavement conditions, which basically would be a gravel road. We have about 47 miles right now in need of resurfacing. So it's a little bit of a snapshot of where we are. I mean, it's not all bad. That only represents about 17% of our system. So it's, like I said, a little bit of an idea of the condition of our county trunk system. So in 2011, we have $1,250,000 in our budget to resurface county trunk highways. And the attachment on there in the map is an indication of which roads we have chosen. Our choices are determined basically on the worst pavement condition and the route importance from a traffic volume standpoint and from a service level of service standpoint. So unfortunately, the $1,250,000 will get us only about 13 miles of resurfacing. So it's just a little bit under $100,000 a mile now for. This is just the cost of the material to purchase the asphalt. So the program ended up being 13.4 miles, and we're looking at the $1.25 million in material to do these projects. So that's the plan. Next week, the Canadian Pacific Railroad is going to reconstruct their crossing on Highway KR. That resolution was passed by this committee a few months ago, requesting that work to be done. They have agreed to do that. At the same time, that will be the first project we're going to be resurfacing. It just so happens that railroad crossing lies in the middle of that segment of Highway KR. That is planned to be resurfaced. So then we're working on Highway O. It's listed from Tom's Avenue to Geneva Road. So prepping that road, and then there's the rest of the list. So
we're gonna, you know, I mean, we're making a dent in our backlog. Obviously, you know, if we were looking at doing all 47 miles, it'd be about a $4.1 million, which just isn't in the picture when it comes from a budgeting standpoint. So it's pretty typical of what we do every year, though. So it's not unusual to do 13 miles. It's just a little. I've been doing this a while, and it's just a little stunning to me that it's gotten to the point where it's almost $100,000 a mile, because from just the material cost alone, it's you know, I remember just a few years ago we were in the $40,000 a mile range. So the increases in the cost of asphalt material just skyrocketed, along with all oil products. And, you know, it's pretty much tied into that whole oil processing system.
So Gary, we got lower prices this year on our asphalt, right?
We actually did get lower prices per ton on the asphalt material, so that was a benefit. The 13 miles would have been less. It would have been about a mile less, almost a mile had less paving had the prices not been reduced. So that I guess is the good news on this. We are, I mean, we're making progress. They're good projects. They're needed projects, and you know, it is making a dent in our backlog.
On KR, just to get my head around it, and maybe everybody else too, since that's a county highway right on scene. How do we get to take care of the entire road?
Correct.
How do you arrange that kind of thing with whether you have this county buddy kind of thing?
Yeah, we do it on all of the boundary roads, with both, even in for Lake County or McHenry County. It's divided up into segments by length. The segment of KR that Kenosha County is responsible for is the segment between 22nd Avenue on the east end and I-94 on the west. So that entire segment between I-94 and 22nd Avenue is Kenosha County's responsibility. Racine County has the section east of 22nd Avenue to Lake Michigan, west of I-94 to Highway 45, and then they also have, I don't know if you're familiar with the area out in Brighton, but Highway J, they have jurisdiction over Highway J there, too. And we have 1 mile of J. I believe they have like 2 miles of J. So it's divided up in segments. For efficiency purposes, it works out well. I mean, they resurfaced all of KR between I-94 and 45 last year, and you know, that was at their cost. So it works both ways, and it's successfully, I think.
Anything else from Mr. Sykes?
Yeah, I got a question. So really looking at this chart that you did given me here. Most of our roads are in pretty good shape. I mean, we got 100 miles of roads that are pretty decent shape.
Absolutely.
I mean, is this a revolving maintenance plan that you're on with these roads? Is that how this goes down? I mean, I just want to quite understand it, because in talking with Ray, when we were building grounds, I was big on what's our maintenance approach, you know? I mean, too often counties just put their head in the sand, and then it costs us more money on the flip side. You know what I mean? So is that how this kind of rolls out, I mean, within a budget of parameters?
Right, yeah, we track the deterioration rate of the pavement. Right now it's about between 13 and 15 miles, 13 and 15 years of life per mile. And when you have 261 miles and you divide that by that average life, that's how we determine about how many miles we should be resurfacing every year. But then, I mean, also in the lower part where you, above the overlay recommendations, there's the crack seal recommendations, and so that's a preventive maintenance item that we're fairly aggressive on, and probably in my opinion the most important thing we can possibly do to our highways is to seal the cracks and to extend the life of the pavement. So it's a general guideline. There is, it's not an exact science, though.
Right, thank you.
One other thing that I think everyone needs to understand, and I know it crosses everyone's mind, but maybe when they're voting, they don't realize some of these things. And I'm not against it, but I just want everyone to be aware. Take Highway O, because I drive it every day. We're planning that thing by 6 feet to put in bike lanes. We could be paving a couple more miles somewhere else. So we have chosen as a quality of life to be connecting all these bike lanes that you've read about in the paper for Kenosha County, Lake County, McHenry County. So we're paving less than we used to ever do, but we're doing something extra. Whether you agree with it, don't agree with it, we're doing a lot less paving than, say, 10 years ago, but we're doing a much more comprehensive job. You think Highway O, it'll be a month on that thing before we ever start paving, because they're having to haul out of here, redo ditches and do a lot of work before you ever start paving. So, we used to do 17, 18, 19 miles, right?
We did.
Yeah. Anything else, Mr. Simpson?
I don't believe so. No, that was it. Oh, one quick, just very quickly. We got our final report from FEMA on our reimbursement for the February blizzard, and final reimbursement cost was $54,900, of which we get 87.5% back of that. So about $48,000 we're going to get reimbursed through FEMA for the blizzard, and I will be bringing a resolution to this committee in July outlining all the costs involved and how that money will be distributed. So that at the July meeting, I'll have that in detail for you.
I'll forgive you. I've got a bill for $86 for my phone for those 3 days. I saved it.
I believe
the two windows.
You should see my phone.
Okay, I know you've got some other business tonight, so if you'd like to leave.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we'll move on to monthly activities for the park.
Everybody knows that we opened Patey Park on Memorial Weekend. A lot of folks have been out there again. It's pretty popular. So it sounds like probably the opening, switching the signs out, contact the Sheriff's Department. They close them and probably do a little thing in a newspaper and let folks know, because of how popular it is, we are going to do that every weekend. Like I said, really, Nick Murphy opens it up normally on his way over to Fox River and that, most of the time in that, so it's really, there's no real extra expense there that I see right now. It's just the porta pot, whatever that would be, and it would be the same. It's probably, I think we're paying around $100 a month for one when we rent them. So I don't know what banks would be charging. It would be the same rate if that's where you want to stick over.
Yeah, if they do.
Yeah.
But she said it makes no sense to pick it up.
No, because it's $100 when they bring it back the next weekend. Right. It's like $99 a time, so. Right. We had the landscaping done at the Petrifying Springs number one well. That's where everybody fills their water jugs and gets spring water. That money, that's still part of a $75,000 donation from the Montegrano family that paid to repair that well and add that enclosure so you can get water all year round instead of it being closed in the winter. And then we had an area in front of it was kind of unsightly, and everybody cut straight across and wore all the grass out. So I had a landscaper draw up a plan for us, got it approved by the family, and had that landscaping completed. I attached a picture in your packet of it.
All right. I'm not sure, but I think his name has an R in there, Montanaro. I think it needs an R in there after the D. I don't know who else is going to see this report, but I just would double check the spelling of his name.
I missed an R.
I want to double check that, but I think it
is.
Okay.
Just to.
Yes, no, it's just here, but I would watch that in the future.
Yeah.
Memorial Day, we were pretty busy. Just a couple of things that I brought to notice. We've had people bring pigs to the park and butcher them before. This is the first time we've had them bring live chickens. I guess that culture isn't traumatized by that, but a lot of folks are. It wasn't so bad, I guess. It's just we had a lot of feathers to rake up.
Did somebody see them doing it?
East End Farming did. And
where was it?
Pardon?
What part?
Pittsburgh Springs.
Really?
Yeah. Last year we had them come and we figured they butchered the pig, killed it in the van, and butchered it by all the entrails. And then they actually took one of our barbecue grills and they hung it over it and built a bonfire underneath it. That's how they cooked it. So, first of all, they
inventive.
You got it done.
That'll
yes, they ate it, so.
But they wasted entrails.
Yeah, they didn't save the good parts. Then the other thing is up at Brightondale, from what I'm hearing, it sounds like it was a bachelor party. It's kind of I really haven't found that out for sure, but somebody set up a rather large tent and drank a considerable amount of beer back by the pavilion at Brightondale, but I still haven't been able to track down exactly who did that.
So they didn't have a permit?
No, they just came in and set their tent up after hours. Our guys go home normally around 2:30 in the afternoon. We start at 6 to get ahead of get the beaches and everything cleaned up.
Because they didn't get a permit to have beer back there, right?
You could at the pavilion, yes. With the pavilion reservation, you could have had a beer permit. So
they couldn't get a permit to take down the split rail fence and
That's right. They took the fence down as well to set the tent up. They didn't have enough room.
Maybe we should have the sheriff drive back there once a year.
Yeah. Well, you know, the sheriff doesn't know, technically. He doesn't know, like, if we give him a structure permit or whatever for a tent or a bounce house or something, they don't necessarily see all of those. We don't pass that all on to them. So, you know, I think the thing that would have caught their eye was the drinking if they would have went back there. I don't think they would have thought the tent was out of the ordinary. But the drinking part would have been.
Did they do any other damage?
Did they what?
Do damage?
No, just they made a mess and pulled the split rail fence apart, so we had to put it all back in. So they were busy. I'm going to just let this. I had a little note here about the Kemper Center, but that really was Ray and facilities lead on that. So I'll let them report that. I did attach a photo of what it looks like when the house has gone there with the grading. The at-risk youth group, oops, I got to back up. We selected the bidder for the playground equipment and called the references on the company and the installers to make sure they had good references. The bids came in about $8,000 underneath what we were quoted initially for this, so we got the two pieces of equipment that were on the back page for $45,800, I believe, installed. Now, that Starnet Supernova, if you look, it says capacity 101 kids. It holds 101 kids. It's a pretty large net climber. And then the other one, the rotating climber, it says 35, and the manufacturer told me that he's counted up to 99 kids on one of those at one time. He said they're hugely popular. The other thing is that pets, we have one piece of playground equipment in Area 4 that was put in somewhere around the early 90s. Other than that, everything at pets was put in the 1940s. There's nothing there in any of our parks that's been updated. Fox River is the same thing. That's all 1940s equipment, old settlers. So it's nice we have some money in the budget to be able to start moving ahead and putting a few things in. We got a few other items we're going to put in at Petrifying Springs this year, and then we're going to jump out to Old Settlers. Remember when Gordy West asked that we do something out there for his constituents? We're going to put in a couple of pieces of equipment there, and then if we have anything left, we'll move on to Fox River. Otherwise, we'll make plans in the future for some new playground equipment there in the budget. The at-risk youth crew will be working in with us this year. We have 100 trees and pets, deciduous trees that we have planned for them to underplant some of the larger ash groupings at pets in anticipation of the emerald ash borer. We also have some split rail fence work for them, some trail work, and we're hoping to maybe get them to build a doggy playground at Old Settlers, which is pretty much would be a mound of dirt with large plastic tubing going through it so the dogs can run through the culverts. And we're hoping that we can get some leftover construction materials donated for the tubing and that, so they're, and then use spill sand from the highway to build this thing. It won't be real large, but it'll be a significant little mound at Old Settlers, but we'll let the kids do that. That'd be high profile for them.
Pedically.
Pardon?
Pedically.
Yeah.
In the dog park.
In the dog park, yep. Yep. And then, of course, again, repaint our playground equipment. I didn't receive any minutes from the Pringle Nature Center. I know I was over there, and I see they've got bat houses out. They installed some bat houses. They look like they're 12, at least 12 foot off the ground, so they must have used 20 foot 4x4s to put them up there. They're pretty high. We are in the process of doing an RFP for leasing out our concession stand at Silver Lake Beach, and also a mobile concession operator at Petrifying Springs, where there hasn't been a concession stand or anything for years. So we'd pretty much be able to just step back and through the lease, generate a little revenue off of their gross sales. And the same with Silver Lake. We would ask that they pay the utilities. We'd let them use the machinery that's there, and a lot of it is pretty old. But same thing, we're going to deal with them. We do have to operate it until July 1st. Is when they would be able to take that one over.
So that's pretty busy, right?
Yeah. We do have three parties interested in it that met for the walkthrough and everything, so we're hopeful that we'll get a couple of good bids on it and be able to do that. And that's about all I have.
Any questions for Mr. Rubin? If not, we'll move on to golf.
We had the 75th anniversary celebration at Petrifying Springs. We had 28 people in our tournament, our three-club tournament on Friday, and about 55 people came to the lunch Friday. And it was overall well-received. There were still a couple complaints about fees, paying 75 cents a hole, believe it or not, but that's where it goes, I guess. And then one person, they ordered all of those things on the menu that we had for 75 cents and gave the concessionaire for 75 cents. Well, it's 75 cents, so that's interesting. But as far as the revenues go, we are meeting weekly and going over revenues and expenses. Ray and myself and Jim Kupfer, our financial manager, and Dave Hassel. And right now we're about $150,000 behind last year in revenue, but we're also about $120,000 ahead in expenses, so or better in expenses. So net, we're about $35,000 behind net profit from of last year. So the weather really has affected us, but we are actively managing this. I mean, it is painful going through these meetings every single week, figuring how we can cut expenses and still keep our guests happy. And so, to be only $35,000 behind net profit-wise isn't the terrible, but it's really not our goal either. I mean, our goal is to be much better than what we did last year. So we had a great weekends. The last two weekends have been really good. We had almost 2,000 rounds this weekend and $62,000 three-day weekend. The fish fries are going over really well. We had 42 at Brightondale and 47 at Petrifying Springs. So the fish fries are going good, to get $62,000 in a weekend. Memorial Day, we did about $28,000 for one day, and then yesterday we did about 24.5. So for one day, so things are picking up if we get the weather. There are a lot of positive comments about the golf courses. People are really enjoying the conditions. We have been struggling a little bit with the rough. I've been getting a couple complaints that the roughs are a little bit too long or too thick, but we're working hard to get caught up on that, and most everybody's very happy with the course conditions. So our database now is about 5,200 people, so we're continuing to email specials out every single week. I hope that you guys are getting it now, because we are sending that out. So we are working on several projects. Grill hood system at Brightondale. We just got that bid back Friday, and we will be scheduling that work later this summer. The flat parts of the roof at Brightondale were done, except for where the current hood system, the fan is up there, and the rest of the roofing will be done after September 19th. The AC unit was moved to the front of the building at Petrifying Springs, and it's hidden nicely behind a bush, and it's not roaring as people walk into the golf shop, so I think that was a really good move. The concrete for the walkway and the patio at Pets, they got started today, ripping out the blacktop for the walkway that goes around the golf shop. And then they'll be pouring that tomorrow, and then ripping out on Wednesday the area for the patio right in front of the back doors into the concession area, into the restaurant, and put that stamped and stained concrete in there. It's going to look like slate, and it's going to have a brick border. I think it's really going to look cool. So we're excited about that. The well systems went out to bid for both the clubhouse and John's Pavilion in the park at Brightondale. That went out Friday, so it'll be a couple weeks, and then we'll be getting that bid back. It'll be considerably less than what we had budgeted for the water line. We got the drain tile being installed around the maintenance shop at Brightondale. The tea irrigation project at Pets is complete. Halloran and Yauch did that, and they did a good job. They finished it off well, finished ahead of schedule. The new pumps were installed at the pump house at Pets, but right now we're having an intake problem. They think that there might be sucking in sediments and maybe even golf balls through the intake, so we have a diver coming out tomorrow to see what kind of screening we have in front of that intake at Petrifying Springs. The DOT project, you might have saw, there have detour signs going up today, and then they're going to have the barricades going up next Monday, and then Gary's team is going to be taking the signage out that we've purchased. And we purchased, I think, about 50 signs or so, and they're going to be putting those up next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow. I was really happy that we got the signage. We thought it was going to be about $3,000. We got it for $1,200, so that worked out. We already have started our $29 senior special on Monday and Wednesdays just to try and get some people thinking about Brightondale, and it's such a good value and coming out there, so we're hoping that kind of combats the highway project. So,
yeah, something about the interstate. Yeah.
The interstate, the signage wise, no.
No, they're 142. They've got construction there. If people know that 75 is torn up and they're coming up from Illinois, they don't have a whole lot of options but the interstate.
And 142, you can go west. It's just east that there's
construction. You can go west, but they still have a lot of signs on the way freaking people out. Right?
Yeah, it's,
when they gave us the master map of where they were putting their signage, we kind of piggybacked off that. So I wonder if on the interstate, they are going to have anything about the 75. That's the only reason we didn't do it there, is because we kind of piggybacked off where they were having their signage.
I saw it yesterday.
Did they have something up on the interstate then, too?
No. So, I mean, just like this, I don't know what other way people will be going. You know, 83 and
45.
The other question I have is on the wells. How do we bid that out?
That's on the county website right now. And it went out through purchasing.
This goes on a website. Doesn't have to be
in the paper. They put it in the labor paper.
Yeah, the labor paper and I think the Daily Reporter. I think those are the two.
And when are the bids due?
It went out Friday, so I believe it's like the 16th or I think it's the 16th.
Because we have some local well drillers, I don't think would read the labor paper. You know,
but they'd probably read the Daily Report, don't they? Because that seems to be the. Well, yeah.
Where did that come from?
I don't know if that's produced from. It's kind of like the contractor's Bible, you know, that all the, whether road builders or.
There used to be some other ones. Maybe that's the new hot one then.
I know that Carol puts them in those two all the time. The local ones, the labor paper, and then this Daily Reporter gets more coverage.
And they do get emailed if they're a registered vendor of the county.
All the smaller guys out there.
Yeah, let them know. Because we want as many bids as we can get.
And we only got one for the roof. I was shocked. You know, it was a great bid. It was $40,000 under what we had budgeted for it. You know, after we got the quote last year for doing it at that, what we budgeted for it. You know, so
it was surprising.
Yeah, Carlson and receiving.
Supervisor Guest.
I suggest that he's right about 142 because even if people come up from Illinois or come down from Milwaukee, they will be able to get there from 142. So if you could get maybe a sign, I know you're not going to get one on the interstate, but if you could get one at the corner, you know, where you come, where they have to turn to go down 142. If you get a sign there, that may help.
That is
there and then Highway 45, too.
At the frontage road?
Yeah. Because 142 would be the best way to go.
Okay.
That's
where people get there. Yeah. So. The second thing I wanted to say was I just want to tell you that Brightondale is in fantastic shape.
Good to hear.
I play it a lot, and the courses, of course, due to all the rain, obviously the grass is wonderful. The rough is a little rough, so it has definitely affected people's games, and I'm sure you've heard about that.
Yep.
But it just makes it a little more challenging.
But that's because of the rain, too.
Yes.
And also because of cutbacks in labor.
Right.
I mean, they've
made the fairways a little skinnier, too.
That $116,000 is definitely a result of cutbacks in labor.
But it's still in good shape. So
we're trying to hold that balance.
Right.
We're trying to hold that balance.
Yeah, right.
Just a question. On your emails, have you been giving them information about the construction?
Not yet. No, we didn't want to scare anybody away because the roads are still in good shape, you know, so we will start, putting that together and putting it out.
Typically, the Highway S, that way. They can't get there.
Yep.
Because when they come on the highway, it looks like it almost looks like one, but it's not.
Yeah. It's rough.
Yeah.
Anything else for Dan? Okay, thank you, Dan. We'll move on to facilities. Old business. Wrap up. Pringle Center Roofing Repair.
I actually got a few things we can wrap up. Pringle Center Roof is done, complete. The punch list has been signed off on, and we made the final payment. There's no leaks. We've had a number of rainstorms. Now, we haven't had really bad driving east, northeastern type ones. That'll be the real test probably this fall, but we haven't had any leaks so far. So far, so good. So we are considering that one wrapped up. I'll jump to the next one. Just keep rolling?
Keep rolling.
Okay.
You wrap something up.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Kepler Buildings demo. if you, there is a board meeting tomorrow night, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, I would recommend if everybody can get a couple minutes and just zip over there if you haven't seen it.
It's great.
It looks radical.
It's marvelous.
Yeah. Compared to what it did. It's
just
amazing.
Guy down from the north.
Yeah. It is amazing how
it makes the other buildings look so much better.
It does, actually. Yeah. It really does. So the bottom line is everything went well there. The fire department got some good training. The sheriff's department and PD both got good training, and we got a good competitive bid from Maceman to take it all down. The only thing that they had left to do was they got some finish grading and seating of the tennis court area itself. That was a little wet, and they should finish that up this week. Other than that, the houses are already grassed and mulched and ready to go. And we did end up, I put that spreadsheet in the packets you should have gotten, but basically that was just to follow up and show, we knew that it was going to cost a little extra to burn the second building. The first building, basically the fire department has $3,500 in their budget to burn one house per year. And for them to do the second house was going to cost $3,500, but when we worked out the math, even with the additional expense, the bottom line, it was we saved about $10,000 by burning both houses before we demoed. That was the bottom line. They're down, and everything looks good down there. So that one I would consider a wrap as well. Courthouse Molinaro restoration. I was going to let Frank. Frank's just back. He was gone for a little bit on vacation, but I think he's up to speed on.
Yeah, actually, we've had overall the weather's been good. We lost a couple days last month, but nothing major, and the weather has been hasn't kept us from working lately, so that's well and good. We've added a few more workers, all of whom from Wisconsin. So I just want to kind of give you that general thing that right now we lost a few days through the winter and spring, but we're looking on a good course here. So lately, long and short of it, I've attached some diagrams here that show the different zones. The first one is the courthouse, and the zones are numbered around the perimeter, and we have color-coded according to the work. The parapet work is the wall that extends up from the roof, and the same thing for the Molinaro building here. They're actually working on them simultaneously because they have one crane in the middle of them. They can work on both, and that saves both time, effort, and money in the end. So, but just to kind of go over the highlight zone on the Molinaro building, which is the second diagram, zone 1 and 2, they're working on the limestone walls, lower parapet. Zone 6 and 7, they're actually rebuilding those parapet walls. Again, they had demoed them, and now they're rebuilding them. Zone 8, they're actually removing the scaffolding there about mid-month. For the courthouse, zones 7 and 9 continue to rebuild the parapet wall. Again, that was demoed all the way down and being rebuilt. Zone 11 continue to demo the parapet wall, and it looks like zone 11 they'll be able to begin rebuilding that wall about the middle of this month. The other thing is the employee entrance for the courthouse. They'll be doing work in that area, taking the steps out and things. And it looks like they're probably around the 20th of this month, so we're going to work with the judges and employees about entrance in and out and make some plans. So overall, things are going well. And
boosted employment, I think you said, too, in the next few weeks?
They actually did add a few workers already, and if things go as planned, they probably will add a couple more, but again, all those workers have been all from Wisconsin.
And Frank, looking at this, we're, what, 7.5 days behind, is that what we're saying?
Well, we lost 7.5 days to the weather. We've also had a streak of some good weather, too, so we think we've made up a few of those days, but we get a whole string of terrible weather. So it's...
We're not out of the ballpark.
Oh,
we're staying within parameters.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. They've got some push built into that schedule.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But, you know, we're documenting. Because they do have a penalty clause, and that was an important thing, that, you know, everybody's hungry for work. So if they've been four other jobs, and they actually got four other jobs, that they wouldn't be pulling guys off of our job. So we instituted a penalty clause that made it financially, you know, not feasible for them to do it. Having done that, so that they get done on a certain date, we also are, you know, days that they cannot work due to weather, those are being kept track of in a formal change order way. So that's why we have them noted like that, because they came through as a formal change order so that it affects, adjust that date. But like I said, the reason we put it in there was with the penalty clause so that we wouldn't get shortchanged.
Well, thank you for the charts. That's very helpful information. Nice report. Any other questions? So now we'll move on to two more wrap-ups and an update.
Yep. Safety building. Wrap-up, pretty much as I indicated last month, we were already in a mop-up kind of a stage at that point. There's really only two things we're working on right now. We're in the middle of finishing up the signage, internal signage in the building, and there will be a kiosk as part of that signage in the lobby. And then the HVAC, we're continuing to dial that in, not so much on the new part of the building, but we're remodeled and kind of connecting the old system with the new. We're still working on dialing that in, because there's a few complexities to that. So we're working on that. The plan will still be to get a report back to the committee here. We last month said August we get that back. I'm going to hedge a little bit and say August or September, depending on when we get, because I really want to wait until we get the HVAC dialed in so we can actually then have a full month at least of everything working the way it's supposed to, so we can do a comparison to the previous year. But that's really it for the safety building. TACAB, Frank's got that, but that's basically all the little details. And the bottom line is I'll do it because it was just good. Basically, all the little odds and ends were done. The tile, we were able to match the original tile from 15 or 18 years ago with the same lot. Frank was able to line that up, and the bottom line is all the details are done in that area now too. So that project's done, complete.
I just have a question. What's going to happen to the area where the registered deeds moved out? Is there a plan for that?
There is no set plan right now. It's not like a whole department moving in there. Actually, there's that vital records room that was off to the side. They're looking at making that a conference room because they've actually run out of, there's only two conference rooms on the second floor right now, that larger committee conference room, that smaller one, but they have auditors in that smaller one a lot of times. So if there's more than, if they actually have more than one meeting, so they're looking at making that a conference room for that very reason. So, and also with Mary Krebs' office, boats and keeping boats locked up, and they were using a conference room in the back for that also, which limited, you know, if you had more than one meeting going on, they really were at a loss. So they're looking at freeing that up, maybe using the Register of Deeds old office to be able to lock all the election returns and have a secure office for that, so they free up that conference room and then another conference room, which also could, because it's right in the doorway there, could also be open to the public. If we had this meeting downtown and the other room was booked, we could have it in there too. So there's some of those plans in the works. They're trying to fine-tune those according to the, you know, kind of the problems they have now with the meetings and with these, a better place to put the votes.
All right. So now we'll move on to parking structure.
Parking structure. Met with the architect for a second time to fine-tune scope of service for completing that project, which is basically the three things: installation of gates, re-engineer and design the lighting system. If you ever notice when you drive by there, the lights are on pretty much 24/7 when they don't need to be, and it's because of the way the original panel was designed. There's some issues where you can't program around some of what's hardwired in that. And the security system in that building. Plan is to get state approval for what we need to do to wrap the project up and go out for bids in July of this year so that we can actually get the work done before the snow flies. that's really what we need to do on that project. I still need, I just haven't had time to pull everything together. When I get the bid specs finalized for this thing, then I plan on coming back to the committee with what we've got budget-wise left in that project and kind of where everything's at. So you got kind of the whole package. I just haven't had the time to devote to this one like I'd like to, just to get it pushed over the goal line, because we've got to get it done. That's pretty much it. Register deeds, unless there's questions on that one.
Yeah, register deeds.
Register deeds. Supervisor Grady called me this morning because he knew he wasn't going to be here, so he wanted to know what. And what I told him I was going to present to the committee was really that this one I haven't had time to dig into more frank as far as the details of what type of video system would be effective for that area if one needs to be put in there. But I told him, I said, what we'll do is we will dig into it. We're already preparing capital budgets for next year. We're already working on that. So what we'll do is we'll bring back a report to the committee and tell them if we're going to make a recommendation to include something in the budget or not. We should be able to do it by August for sure.
You know, I wasn't involved in this, but did we have a request on the registered deeds that they have scoff laws down there to taking things, or how did this come up?
I don't believe there was ever an instance of somebody taking something. I believe it goes back, actually predates Frank and I by probably 5 or 6 or more years. In fact, Gail may have been the clerk of courts when the original requests were made up for this. But in any event, I'm not sure what drove it. There was rumor that...
I think Bill Grady kind of drove that. I mean, when we brought it up, we're in Building and Grounds, he's the one that wanted you to dig into it.
Well, Louise had contacted him, though.
Yeah.
And then he came down and he did a walkthrough.
I mean,
He drove it, like you said, at the last meeting. He wants to make sure that we ferret it out to see if there is a legitimate need or not. But I know the Register of Deeds contacted him originally and had him kind of take a walk through.
So she does think there's a problem.
They've never had a problem there, but
yeah,
there's concern of going in there and not having, right, there's a space that no one could see somebody or somebody could take something.
That was.
I'm sorry. Their records are open to the public.
Correct.
All the records.
There's still a control.
Exactly. Yeah. But they have a lot of realtors that come in on their own and look at their records. And I don't know if that's the area that she's concerned about, that is where she's looking for the... If you put video surveillance in there, who's going to monitor it?
Right, there wouldn't be any monitoring. It would only be to use after the fact. If there was some type of an event, you'd be able to go back.
Is she concerned about people taking money? That's been tightened up years ago put the whole revenue system in. I don't think that that's the...
That was brought up money.
Right.
That was because of money. But that
no, that was brought up of stealing money.
Really?
Yeah.
They were worried about people still.
Yeah, correct.
Like, they were worried about somebody coming in because of the money. This is what I got from Bill, was that because of the money being there, the potential for someone to want to either come in and...
to be robbed.
Yeah,
yeah.
To be robbed.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, not an inside job like last time.
Looking at
different
aspect.
And that's how I remember.
So we don't know if there's a need yet.
Right. Right. And like I say... Supervisor Gray, he just wanted to ferret that out and make a decision once and for all. Is it something we need or is it not? And that's really, he wants us to follow through on that.
I got you.
I can probably add just one other piece to it, just to help out. The old counter did actually have a push button if somebody were to approach the counter and demand money, but over the years it went direct to a company and then it got pushed by accident and the company was shared. Sheriff, they'd show up and
it was disabled.
In the end, it was disabled. So when we were taking out the old counter, they asked, "What about it?" People forgot it was disabled. People hadn't used it in years. People forgot it was there. But in the end, the way we arranged everything was you had 6 people that were right behind the counter to service the public, whereas before they were kind of tucked away. And one person had a view and had to come out. So you had 6 people right there. You know, if somewhere to happen, most likely one of those 6 people would be able to dial 911. But still, I think Grady had us wanted to look into these separate issues.
Looks like demo, that one, I think there was something in the packet as well, it kind of just to give the committee, that's the next big demo project. The bids were publicly listed on Friday. Carol, the purchasing agent, had indicated there was quite a few calls already. The walkthrough for that is going to be next Monday. The bids are going to be the 20th, and we're going to, you know, keep things moving. So we're hoping to have everything finalized by the day after the 4th of July, and then get the project complete before the kids go back to school, end of August. And it's aggressive, but I mean, the Kemper project was pretty aggressive, too, and we got that done. This is much larger, but as long as we get a good contractor in there, we should be able to pull this one off, too. So that will be a big improvement. Two things to note, I guess, from people's perceptions of that. We aren't going to take down every building. There was, when we did a walkthrough out there about 2 weeks ago, there's been a need. In fact, I think there's something in the capital budget for Brookside, I think like 3 years out, for a storage shed. Well, the shed, there's a steel, all-steel shed there that houses the boilers. It was retrofitted, I don't know, in the mid-90s or right before, I think, Brookside got shut down, the old one, that housed all the boilers. And the shed's in fine condition, and if we just have the contractor gut that thing, it should be an adequate storage shed. We might have to do some modifications with some overhead doors. But the bottom line is, it should cover their storage needs going forward. So we're going to preserve that building. We're also going to preserve that west parking lot, the old parking lot, because it's used quite a bit, especially when she's got student nurses. That's typically where they park, as well as staff. So that's it. Other than that, everything else is going to get yanked.
Corporation Council. That's it.
Yeah, just a basic overview, because that one's going to be launching pretty quick, too. So I'll let Frank speak to that one.
Yeah, the intent there is to move Corporation Council out of the house down on 6th Avenue so that they can shut it down and we don't have to heat it and cool it. It does save on utility bills. And with IT moving out of the basement out of the courthouse, we've got that area that we can kind of remodel and fit. So that's going to be the big push, is to get that going and get Corporation Council. They've got a lot of books and things like that we have to figure out what to do with now. That's our big push, to get them in there before the heating season really begins, and I'll put together, after we start to talk to the party, a more formal list like this for your next meeting.
Is the square footage the same that they're moving into? I mean, is it bigger or smaller?
No, it is definitely smaller, but we figured out the number of offices people would need and the reception desk, and with a conference room there, we can put everybody in. But you're right, it is definitely smaller. It was a big, grand place. Big reception area, and you know, they had a main office there. Frank Wolf would test that, a main office, secondary office, but that's the space that's available. That was.
And this is the same Corporation Council building that we've been taking money out of the window fund for the last 10 years.
Exactly.
What's the plan of that building?
That's what I was going to say. Is it during the budget process this year? Because we don't have a plan right now. All I know is that we need to do something with it so that we can get it off the back. So
it could build itself.
I would think that that's an option. Yeah, if we can work something out with one of the other municipalities, which there's probably only this much chance of that happening. City specifically, but if we can't work something out there, then yeah, I would hope that we could sell it, because we really need to.
Oh, there's people that would buy that.
It's a gorgeous home. The only thing that makes it a little goofy is that big addition that was put on in the, you know, so the historical, it's a gorgeous piece of property and everything, but then there's that kind of chunk that was put on the back.
It could work, you could work right.
Yeah, I'm sure there's somebody that would.
You get the right architect at $1 million, too.
Oh, yeah.
Right, that's it. That's it. Yeah. So, yeah, we'd be looking to make a recommendation in the budget this year to do something.
Let's not give it to the city in lieu of something. I know that's not your decision.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's the type of things we do. We say, okay,
you can have it.
You owe us $500,000. Well, this is not even talked about.
Right.
We'll give you this. You give us $200,000.
Yeah, I don't talk to my perception, even though I have not been involved in any of those negotiations, my perception of that is that the chances is not too high. I don't want to be, exactly. I don't want to be.
Nobody hears about those negotiations because they're dumb.
So that's pretty much it.
Any other matters? Then I guess motion.
Second.
To adjourn. Move and second to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye, aye.
Aye. We're adjourned. Thank you. Thanks for reports. Good paperwork. Thank you all.
Thanks, everyone. Dennis, I'll get with Gary tomorrow and then I'll give you a buzz as far as that letter. What's the easiest way to get it out to you?